Let's get to our guest, Abhilash Narayan, who is Senior Investment Strategist at Standard Chartered Wealth Management. Abhilash, thanks very much for joining us. So all of this action here from the Bank of Japan, we've been canvassing clients and guests on the program today on whether or not they think that makes Japan look more attractive or less attractive going forward. Your thoughts on that level?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the announcement yesterday, it did come as a big shock to investors, and we can see that from the reaction of bond as well as FX markets. But I think at the margin, it does make Japanese fixed income markets a bit more attractive. Now, we see two potential implications of yesterday's move. First one is, it just solidifies the tighter monetary conditions or the tighter monetary policies from various central banks. So we could see a knock-on impact and higher yields in U.S. and European government bond markets. So, we won't be surprised if treasuries move towards, 4% over the next few weeks. And the second impact is we think that we could see more flows back into Japanese markets. I mean, we know Japanese investors are large holders of fixed income globally. And with the latest move, Japanese fixed income is becoming more attractive. So, for instance, if you look at the hedged yield of U.S. treasuries today for Japanese investors versus the JGB yield, Japanese investors get a 160 basis point pickup versus the hedged U.S. treasury. So it is becoming more attractive. In fact, JGBs offer a higher hedged yield as compared to U.S. IG corporate bonds. So we could start to see incremental rotation back into Japanese fixed income markets. But that isn't a slam dunk, because while we've seen a lot of policy normalization in U.S., it's just starting in Japan, to be honest.
Yeah, and to your point, what's going on here in terms of the bigger picture? Is the ground being prepared for a new Bank of Japan governor in April? And that kind of relates to our Bloomberg question of the day. When will Japan exit negative rates? When's that going to happen?
Well, that's a tough question to answer. I think one thing we know about Bank of Japan is, like, unlike the Fed and the ECB, which tend to favor giving forward guidance to markets, Bank of Japan has been one of the banks where, surprise has been the order of the day. So it's difficult to predict, but it's likely that we won't exit the negative rates in Japan, at least till Governor Kuroda's term ends. But, it's still early days. While Governor Kuroda did emphasize that this was a one-off technical move, we'll get a better picture or better clarity in the next meeting from Bank of Japan on 18th of January.
In any case, we're coming into a year that will probably be nervous times for a lot of people. I see from your notes that you think it's a good time to play it safe, and you like exposure to high-quality bonds. Where would you be targeting some fresh money at the moment?
Well, you're absolutely right. So we have turned overweight on bonds, both government bonds as well as IG corporate bonds. And we think that given the backdrop that there is an elevated risk of recession, from a risk management perspective, it does make sense to turn a bit more defensive. Within bonds, we do have a preference for Asian dollar bonds. And we also think that U.S. Treasury yields should decline in 2023. So you could see a bit more capital gains from U.S. Treasuries as well. So, we wouldn't take very concentrated bets. We still favor diversification, but at the margin, we do favor Asian dollar bonds over developed market counterparts.
The 210 still deeply inverted. When do you see that changing?
Well, it's unlikely to go back into the positive territory anytime soon, at least until we start seeing Fed start, cutting rates in a more aggressive fashion. But we do think that the inversion could soften. So while we are at close to 80 basis points in the inverted territory, in 2023, we should start to see that normalize a bit. And one of the key reasons why we think that is going to happen is because we expect the Fed to cut rates cumulatively by around 75 basis points in the second half of 2022. So that should be, a major factor in bringing the two-year yields lower and reducing the inversion that we are seeing right now.
So we often talk a lot about China on this program, but I have to say that the Bank of Japan has kind of stolen the thunder from China. We've been talking so much about Japan this morning. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening with the Chinese economy here as they change policy on their approach to COVID. Sam Fazeli, a Bloomberg Intelligence analyst, the chief pharmaceutical analyst, is saying that the death toll likely could hit 700,000 now, because COVID will be running through the population. And a study by another team of researchers in Hong Kong puts the figure at almost 1 million. Are these numbers significant enough to really, really disrupt the reopening? Or are we going to see the Chinese economy, you know, really change before our very eyes in the shorter term?
Well, that's a great question. And I think this is something we've been debating a lot as well. Now, in our assessment, we think that the path to reopening is unlikely to be a linear one. We will see some bumps around the road. And as far as the number of deaths and the projections there are concerned, I think it also depends a lot on what do you use as a definition for COVID-related deaths. And we've seen, you know, varying definitions being used by different participants. But clearly, there will be an impact on the economy. And we think that, you know, there is a risk that the optimism that we've seen around Chinese assets, be it equities and bonds recently, could take a sort of a step back. Investors may reassess whether China is committed to reopening or not. And see, it is a process that will take a few months. It's not going to happen within 2 weeks or 4 weeks. So we will see ebbs and flows. We will see potentially a pullback in Chinese equities when investors become concerned about the magnitude of infection spread in China. But if you have a 6 to 12 month horizon, we would be buyers on the dips. So we think that Chinese stocks are quite beaten down. We think Chinese bonds are quite beaten down, and we see attractive risk premium embedded in both these asset classes. So we like both Chinese equities as well as Asian dollar bonds, where Chinese issuers are around 50% of the universe.
What's a realistic expectation around Chinese growth for the next 12 months?
Well, a lot depends on how quickly China reopens. But we also have to keep in mind that, you know, China is a large exporter, and we are going to see slowdown in US and Europe. So we are assigning a 75% probability of a recession in US and Europe over the next 12 months. So there are a number of variables, but we think that Chinese growth should be above 4% in 2023. And if you do see a faster reopening, a soft landing in US and Europe, it is possible that we end up seeing growth that's closer to 5%. But yeah, right now, it's a bit too early to give more concrete figures.
I know you like some contrarian calls. Do you think it's possible that we see recession in the United States, but we don't see a big spike in unemployment, and we don't see a huge rise in defaults?
Well, never say never. It is certainly possible. But if you look at history, right, if you look at past U.S. recessions since 1970s, we did an analysis. And what that showed was that whenever unemployment rate starts to rise in the U.S., especially around the times of recession, usually it rises by over 2%. So, you know, while Fed is projecting that unemployment rate will peak at 4.6%, which is just 1% higher from where we are today, history shows that is very difficult to achieve. So,
yeah, it could go higher. Yeah, Abhilash, thanks so much for joining us. Really interesting commentary. Abhilash Narain, their senior investment strategist at Standard Chartered Wealth Management.